Last weekend, I was on a Rachel's Vineyard retreat. As many of you know, it's a post-abortion healing retreat. And one of the activities we did on the retreat was focused on this exact gospel passage. And of course, a lot of the retreatants had been dealing with feelings of condemnation, feelings of rejection, and not only because of their choice of abortion, but even for most of them, dating far before that, they had felt rejected and condemned in one way or another. For example, one of the women shared that her mother, this was a 60-some-year-old woman, she shared that her mother had always told her that she never should have been born. Another woman shared that her father had always expressed his disappointment that she had not been a boy. And people inflict all kinds of wounds like this on children and family members, siblings. You know, we experience these things at school when we're growing up. So many hurtful things are done. And maybe not all of us had that same experience of rejection from a parent. But I suspect that none of us has made it to this point in life without at some point experiencing rejection from other people, possibly even condemnation. Maybe it was someone belittling us or criticizing us for lack of ability or our looks or our lack of sportiness. This is getting a little bit autobiographical here. No, especially in you. Kids say all kinds of things. You're a wimp. You're a jerk. You're not pretty. You'll never go places. People say all kinds of things that are hurtful. And the sad part is that so often, when those things are spoken to us, especially in youth, we take them in and we allow them to reside in our heart. And then those things, whether we know it or not, start to have this effect on us. And the effect can last years and years and years. And an even sadder part of it is that we start to believe that the things that have been spoken about us are true. And then we allow those notions of ourselves to inform or affect or shape our relationship with God. And we start to believe maybe God thinks those same things about us. We start to fear that God will condemn us or fear that God will reject us because of who we are or because of who we're not. Maybe there's this sense that God is disappointed in us because we're not the saints that we should be. Well, in today's gospel, Jesus puts the mercy of God at the very center of the stage here. And it's important for us to note how God's mercy is expressed here. Jesus does not simply excuse the woman. He doesn't dismiss simply what she has done, as if to say, well, that's no big deal. Everyone falls. Everyone is weak. You know, just go away and be at peace. He extends mercy to her, which calls her to something greater. He says to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." Theologians refer to cheap grace as if God just sort of turned his back on the things that we do wrong, as if they didn't matter. But that isn't the image of mercy that Jesus gives us in the gospel. Jesus is willing to allow the past to be in the past. But he also wants the woman to grow He wants this woman and all of us to let the past be in the past, but to always be setting out on the road toward deeper conversion and a deeper life of faith. Indeed, the only time we really experience condemnation is when we choose not to repent of our sins, when we choose not to strive for what God wants us to do, where God is calling us, where God is leading us in life. Then we're just choosing it for ourselves. But God never stands in condemnation of us. God always accepts us exactly as we are. He's always willing to forgive whatever we have done in the past. But it's not cheap grace, because he's always asking us to strive and to open our hearts for the grace of conversion that is ongoing. You might reflect on your own life. Maybe there have been times when someone spoke words of condemnation to you, something that you allowed to take up residence in your heart, a way of thinking about yourself, a way of thinking you're not worthy, or you're not lovable, or you're less than other people. The Lord invites us to bring those to the light, to expose them to the truth, expose them for the lies that they are. And the Lord wants to heal those things so that we can truly move on, allow the past to be in the past, and step forward in growth and a deeper conversion. St. Paul writes to the Philippians, just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. And Isaiah, likewise, in the first reading, speaks on behalf of the Lord, who talks about doing something new. Are we allowing God to do that something new in our lives? Or do we find ourselves burdened and tied down by things from the past? Now is the time, as Lent is drawing to its end, so we're coming closer and closer to Easter. Now is the time. Unearth some of those things that weigh you down. Bring them to the Lord. Welcome his healing. Let them be in the past now, and strive forward with hope and really strong expectation, joyful expectation of what he has in store for you and for all of us.